Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Iceberg Recap, your home for Pittsburgh Penguins game recaps and analysis. You can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcast from. And I am already laughing at what just occurred on the ice at PPG Paints Arena. Let's get to it. Pittsburgh Penguins 3, Anaheim Ducks 4. And a second straight loss for the Pittsburgh Penguins. They dropped to 3-6 on the season in the most, honestly, chaotic way, humorous way that you could think of to the Anaheim Ducks. I mean, shout out to the Anaheim Ducks. They've won 4 games in a row. They might be a better team this year than they were last year. They have, I think, 16 players, they said on the broadcast, that are 22 or younger or 24 or younger or something of that manner. A young team, an exciting team for the first time in a couple years, but this game was not about them at all. Not in the least. It was the same old song and dance for the Pittsburgh Penguins this season. Last year, you go back and the narrative was this team could get out to leads and then blow them in the third period. This season, it's dominating puck possession, dominating time of possession, dominating shots, dominating expected goals, and still coming up on the losing side of things. Not only coming up on the losing side of things, but not even being able to go out there and get a pity point when you're tied with 2 minutes and 8 seconds to go. And a 2-minute 5-on-3, you still find a way to lose that game in regulation. And the way that they found a way to lose in regulation this time is on their goaltender. The goaltender that they gave 5 years, over $5 million to, is not an NHL goaltender at the moment. Tristan Jarry handed that game to the Anaheim Ducks, and we'll talk about him a little bit as this show progresses. Thank you to everybody that is in the comment section here live on Inside the Penguins directly after that debacle of a loss for the Pittsburgh Penguins. But let's get into the goal recap here before we continue on this iceberg recap in general. If you're on Inside the Penguins on YouTube, you'll see that that is up on the screen for you right now. Erik Karlsson opens up the scoring with his second goal of the season. Assist go to Evgeny Malkin and Riley Smith on that reimagined power play. It looked good early on, and it became a story throughout the entire game. Penguins got up 1-0. Shortly after that, score was tied. Again, another through line for this game is the Pittsburgh Penguins being unable to carry their momentum and to build on a lead in this, and they tie it there at 1-1. Jacob Silverberg gets his first of the season. Max Jones and Pavel Minyakov, the impressive young defenseman, get the assist on this one. Second period starts at a tie 1-1. It gets 2-2 through the second period as Frank Vatrano puts the Anaheim Ducks up top in the lead for the very first time in this game. His 9th goal of the season, having a good year out there in Anaheim for Vetrano. Cam Fowler gets the assist. Mason McTavish picks up his first of what would be 3 points on the night on the Anaheim power play. Then later in the second period, Penguins get a 5-on-3 opportunity. They don't miss on this one. Evgeny Malkin scores his 5th of the season. Erik Karlsson picks up an assist. And Sidney Crosby picks up his 5th assist of the season, and that one passes Mark Recchi all-time on the NHL's all-time assists list, and that one was on the power play as well, a small consolation for Crosby that probably does not care that that happened in the least. But 2-2 after two periods, go into the third period, and it looks early on like the Pittsburgh Penguins were there to play, were there to get the win, redeems a Horna Potts goal that gives them a 3-2 lead early in the third period. The third line was a factor in this one, and they've been a factor over the past couple of games. A good sign for the Pittsburgh Penguins, but as we are going to talk about, there were plenty of bad signs to go around in this one as well. Zohorna's second goal of the season. Assists go to Drew O'Connor and Lars Eller. It is Eller's third assist of the season. And then, well, it got comedic in the third period. Shortly after that, Mason McTavish ties the game with his fourth of the season, Ryan Strome and Pavel Mityakov get the assist on that one. And then there's what happened at the end. Like I mentioned, 2:08 left on the game clock in the third period. Penguins get a 5-on-3. They don't capitalize. First penalty expires. Mason McTavish comes out of the box, and he is sprung because of a just hiccup in the offensive zone by the Pittsburgh Penguins on the power play. He gets the breakaway, and Tristan Jarry does not make the timely save once again. Mason McTavish scores with 11 seconds to go in this one, giving Anaheim the 4-3 lead and eventually the 4-3 victory. I keep laughing at this. I think it is so hilarious that they continue to lose in some dumbfounding ways, because here's the thing. I can't come on here again and say, well, this team was good. This team played a really good game. This team should have won the game. Should can only go so far when you lose these games routinely. And again, it is routine that they outplayed their opponent in this one, but find a way to lose. And in this one, it is the fact that the power play was better. The third line was good. The first line was clicking on all cylinders. But the goaltender just didn't want to play hockey tonight, and Tristan Jarry. We'll get to him again. I'm going to keep pushing that can down the road because I just want to continue to talk about Jarry throughout this episode, because he really was the story of this game on either side, honestly. He really just handed this one to the Anaheim Ducks. Let's get to the three stars of the game here. I mentioned Pavel Mityakov, very impressive young defenseman for the Anaheim Ducks. I thought he looked great in this one. Made a couple of plays in the defensive zone. Very smart on the puck in the defensive zone. And then smart when he wanted to jump up in the play as well. A young defenseman that really kind of has gone under the radar, but with his two assists tonight, ties the NHL lead, rookie lead for defensemen in points. And really, you know, he was playing a physical game as well. There was one hit he laid on Evgeny Malkin behind the Anaheim net that I was like, okay, for a young kid, he's really playing a physical game. Very impressive from the young Ducks defenseman there. Second star of this game, going to go to Lucas Dostal. I don't want to say, hey, you know, he looked great in this one, because the Penguins make a lot of goaltenders look great. It's just what's happened all year this year, and they make Lucas Dostal look great when he comes in relief for the second and third periods. Saves 33 of 35 shots that he faced against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and he followed the script. That's all he had to do. Follow the script. Go in, play steady in the net, and the Penguins are going to send a lot of pucks right into your chest. They're going to send a lot of pucks at you, and you're going to be able to see them the entire way. A lot of these shots coming from 25, 30 feet away, and nobody on the Pittsburgh Penguins in front of the net. That's something we're going to talk about tomorrow. I'm making a point of it to talk about it tomorrow on the tip of the iceberg. The Pittsburgh Penguins, for some reason, are afraid of the net front. They get in front of the net, they try to make a screen, and then you saw on so many of those opportunities, particularly on the power play, by the time the shot got to the goaltender, where were the Pittsburgh Penguins? There was one on the left side of Dostal, one on the right side of Dostal, nobody in front of Dostal. You're not going to get deflections like that. You're not going to screen the goaltender like that. It's going to make it very hard for you to score goals in this league if you fail to get in front of the goaltender's face. Because most goalies that play in this league, Tristan Jarry excluded, if they see the puck, they're going to save the puck. And that's what's happened all season long for the opponents of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and it happened tonight for Lucas Dostal. And he's going to get the second star of the game for me, and the first star. First time that I've done this. This is the 9th iceberg recap of the season. Obviously, the first season that I'm doing it. And the first time that I have gone through a game and said, you know what? There have been decent performances by the Penguins, but after the way that that game ended, they don't deserve any of the stars of the game. So Mason McTavish is the first star of the game. You go Mityakov, Dostal, and McTavish. McTavish gets two goals and an assist, including the game winner late in this one. It was a great shot by him. Very uncontested by Tristan Jarry. I thought most of the night Tristan Jarry was a little too far in his own crease. And as I believe it was Phil Bork today, or somebody pointed that out today to Mike Sullivan in the pregame presser, that, you know, did you notice that Tristan Jarry sits a little too far back in his crease when he's not confident, and that leads to some poor play on his part. And Mike Sullivan deferred and said, listen, I'm not the type of guy that's going to be able to give you the ins and outs of the goaltender position when it comes to the way that we're teaching these guys. That's going to be Andy Chiodo, the goaltending coach. Well, Andy Chiodo has some work to do with Tristan Jarry then, because he was in his net a little too much tonight. And then when he wasn't, he was completely out of the net. I mean, let's get to it now. My final thoughts before I go to the comment section here. Got to catch my breath for a second. My final thoughts are on Tristan Jarry. But before I get into Jarry, the thing I want to say with this is the Penguins tonight showed that they're built really well for how they want to play the game. How Mike Sullivan wants them to play the game, how Kyle Dubas would like them to play the game. They're actually built really well for that, and they showed it tonight. Puck possession is key. What have they done all season long? Very well. Possess the puck. What is the only thing they lead the league in? Faceoffs. That goes into possession. So they're good at that, sure. Force your opponents to convert on as little opportunities as possible. That's what they did tonight. They forced them to do it. The only problem with that is, and the fatal flaw in this entire plan is, you could be great with the 18 skaters you have on the ice if the 19th guy, the guy with the big pads and the blue crease, if he can't hold up on those few opportunities, then it doesn't matter if everybody else does their job, because you're going to give up goals on those two or three or four opportunities that you allow to the other team. That happened tonight. Tristan Jarry was Swiss cheese. He was a sieve. He was horrible. I don't know what other way to say it. There's somebody came on the comment section of the last one and said I was defending Tristan Jarry, which I didn't. I hope you don't come into the comment section this time, because I'm doing the opposite of defending Tristan Jarry. That was one of the worst performances I've seen from him in his entire career, and he's had some bad ones. You know, I don't need to bring back the game six against the New York Islanders back in 2021. But this one, it rivals it. Pretty bad. But, you know, you look at the rest of the team. The first line, once again, was really good. Second line, not great at 5-on-5. They didn't create a lot of opportunities, but when you look at what Ricard Raquel has been doing, he has 0 goals, 1 assist. I talked about it on Iceberg to Go earlier today. You need to do something with him. You can't have him continue to go out there, and it's not like he's not getting his chances. Ricard Raquel had 6 shots on goal tonight. 6. He's shooting the puck. He's trying to do everything the coaches are asking him to do, and it's just not converting. Part of that is he's not getting the chances where he needs to get the chances from, because he doesn't do that when he's with Evgeny Malkin and Riley Smith. You got to put him on the first line. And yeah, you don't want to take anything away from the first line, because the first line has been tremendous all season long. But you need to get something else going for Ricard Raquel and for that second line at 5-on-5 tonight, because it was not good enough. Third line looked really good. Fourth line did what the fourth line does, I guess. They didn't give up any goals. At least none that I really recognize. And if they did, it was on Jarry. Like, I'll go back to that. The first 3 goals were on Jarry. The fourth one you can debate, because it was, you know, a breakaway, but eventually you need to make a save. He didn't on the 4 opportunities. And those were opportunities that could have all been saved.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
So before I go to what's up next for the Pittsburgh Penguins, I do want to try to look through. There's a lot of comments. I'm going to try to get to as many of them as I possibly can here in the next couple of minutes. Bryce Seiko says, controlled zone time, shots on goal, and lost with a shorthanded goal. It's comedic, Bryce. That's what, I started this thing laughing. I'm still laughing on the inside. It is comedic how well they played and they still found a way to lose. That is, to me, one of the most baffling things that they continue to do this. And they're 3-6-0 and it's getting late quickly, right? I talked about it earlier today. 8 games is only 10% of the season. It's enough of a sample size to see what's going wrong and to form some habits that need to be changed, but not enough into the season where it's extremely detrimental to your playoff chances. If you keep performing like you did tonight, specifically on the goaltender, it's going to get late very, very early. Let's look through a couple of these. Magic Milkman says, how does he go from a shutout to this? I have no idea. I really don't understand it. I mean, you could have said the same exact thing on Saturday night against Ottawa. How is he from when he plays well, really good, and when he doesn't play well, really bad? And there's no middle ground right now with Tristan Jarry. It's something that the Pittsburgh Penguins need to address. I just don't know how they're going to address it because they just locked this guy up for 5 years. And we'll talk about it, but at the same exact time, I mean, while Kyle Dubas has shown in the past that he does lose patience with goaltenders, you look at what he did up in Toronto. I mean, he had Frederick Anderson when he took over, and then Jack Campbell showed some promise, and Jack Campbell became the starter. Jack Campbell got 1 year in, didn't perform to expectations, and he was gone. And they went out and they got, I believe it was Peter Mrazek and Matt Murray. Was Matt Murray there at that point? I don't know. They went through so many different ways and different goaltending duos because Kyle Dubas was not going to sit still and let a goaltender cost his team a chance to go on a run. Now, is this a different situation? Yes. The goaltenders that are available are different. That's why they went out and signed Tristan Jarry this past offseason. But 9 games into the season, you're not going to give up on the guy you just signed 5 years on. I don't know what they're going to do because you look at Alex Nedeljkovic. That was the answer is, hey, if Jarry was going to stink, Nedeljkovic has shown that he could be a 1B, potentially 1A in this league. You're hoping he comes in, he plays well, and he can give Jarry a blow and let Jarry sit for 2, 3, 4 games while he figures his stuff out. Can't happen now because Alex Nedeljkovic is on long-term injured reserve. He won't be back until the middle of November. November 18th against Vegas, I believe, is his first game that he can come back in. Meanwhile, Magnus Hellberg, who looked pretty decent in relief on Saturday, he's just not that caliber of guy. You're hoping that he could be, and he might be. We'll see. He's probably going to get some opportunities, but at the same exact time, you just don't expect that from a guy like that. Chris Perkins says, what do you do with a 5-year deal goalie though? That's the toughest question. Cause I don't know who's going to take them at this point. Cause if you call somebody for a trade, they're going to say you're desperate and they're going to make you give them to you for nothing. You're not going to get anything back for them. You're going to lose that. And I know some people might say, well, that's good. But at the same exact time, you need to look around the league and look at some of these goaltenders. I mean, John Gibson was an option this summer. He's not going anywhere. Connor Hellebuck was an option this summer. He signed a long-term extension. Who is available right now, especially only 10% of the way through the season? A lot of teams are still trying to figure things out with the team that they put on the ice early in the season. There's not going to be very many guys open, and there's nobody in the pipeline that is quite ready for that jump, for that next step of being a Penguins starting goaltender. So you're stuck with Tristan Jarry. You need him to figure things out. Cameron Britton says, Nick left a comment up about regarding the power play on both levels, AHL and NHL. Sent you a message on Facebook. You did. I do remember seeing that, Cameron. I didn't get a chance to get back to you. Listen, the power play tonight was good. You can say what you will about what happened at the end. They were getting their opportunities. They started to overthink it. But everything leading up to the most pivotal moment of the game, which is not going to help anybody, which is not going to make anybody else feel better, but every other power play leading up to that final one in the game, they were doing everything they needed to do. They scored on the one, and on the third power play, I thought was their best power play of the season. They didn't score on it, but you know what it did? It built momentum, and you saw for 6, 7, 8 shifts after that power play opportunity, the Penguins continued to control momentum. They continued to control opportunities, and they got so close to getting that lead, and then they give up one singular opportunity the other direction, and it goes in the net. And that just kills all the momentum that you have. So the power play, we talked about it on Iceberg to Go. We're going to continue to talk about it this season. It's tough. It's really tough whenever you have all this momentum, when you play as well as the 18 skaters did, and you're let down by one singular guy. And that one singular guy is going to take it on the chin. But at the end of the day, you just need more from Tristan Jarry. Chris Perkins says, do you think we should try our Zamboni driver net worked for Carolina? It's funny, because that Zamboni driver was actually employed by Kyle Dubas in the Toronto Maple Leafs when he went in and got the win. And the Pittsburgh Penguins emergency backup goaltender, for those that are definitely interested in who that might be, it's Mike Chiasson, who is one of the Penguins coaches. So he is the e-bug for the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's not the Zamboni driver in Pittsburgh. One last one that I'm going to go to here is Luke Hebert. He says, am I the only one that thinks Gino shouldn't be manning the power play on the point? Here's the only issue I have with that, Luke. Evgeny Malkin has the best shot from that spot on the power play. He has the best one-timer on the team. He has the most accurate one-timer on the team. The give and the take of that is, whenever he's tired, you're going to see exactly what you saw on the game-winning goal. There might be a turnover. He's not the guy to chase down the forward heading the other direction. And that's something the Pittsburgh Penguins have really struggled with. Honestly, they've struggled with that his entire career, and they're going to continue to struggle with that because they're not going to take him off the point in the power play. The one thing I will say before we head home today about the man advantage, Jake Guentzel also has one of the best shots on the team. Jake Guentzel has probably a more lethal wrist shot than Sidney Crosby does. Just gonna mention that. Crosby might have a better backhand than anybody has on a forehand, but Jake Guentzel's wrist shot and Jake Guentzel's actual shooting ability is not being utilized properly on the Penguins' power play. Yes, I know for a long time that they've liked to have him in the net front, and he's kind of adapted to that role very well, but they don't utilize his shot nearly enough, and I don't think in general Jake Guentzel has utilized his shot enough this season. That's at 5-on-5, that's on the power play, that's on everything. So I think they need to utilize Jake Guentzel a little bit smarter. I think they need to get him more shooting opportunities on the power play. They need to manufacture that, and that's on Todd Reirden and setting up the system, setting up the rotation so Jake Guentzel can get more opportunities. It's also on the players on the ice. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a team that really just needs to fix a few fatal flaws. And that's the thing. There's small things that the Penguins let beat them. It's goaltending is a big thing. I've said that the entire show. I'm not going to say that. It's the one small mistake on the power play. You just can't make that pass if you're Erik Karlsson. You can't make that pass knowing that there's 3 seconds left on the power play, that somebody's coming out of the box, even though it's a 5-on-3. You just have to be able to, in that time, be a little bit more secure with the puck. And you can't take the dumb penalties. I mean, a couple of these penalties were a little weak. The one leading up to the 5-on-3 in the third period on Marcus Pettersson, I thought was weak. But again, you just can't find yourself tangled up in these situations. It's a hard thing to control, but it's something that you need to control nonetheless. But that is going to do it for this one. Up next for the Pittsburgh Penguins, a 4-day break. It is going to be a very long 4-day break for the Pittsburgh Penguins, who are riding back-to-back losses in 3 of 4 on this homestand. And they head out west to California to take on the San Jose Sharks in Erik Karlsson's return game. We'll see if they have a better showing in that one. We'll see who's in net for that one. Off of a 4-day rest, I would doubt it's Magnus Hellberg, but Tristan Jarry needs to figure it out. I've bashed him for 22 minutes, and I think that is plenty to do. But before I go, actually, I do want to mention this because Sword287 brought it up. All the work Eller did on the PK for the PP to go and do that. Lars Eller, tremendous effort in that one. Figured I'd throw that one here at the end of this one. A little bit of a positive to end this show. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of negatives tomorrow on the full episode of Tip of the Iceberg. I'll have Nick Horwat, my co-host, joining me. He was in the building tonight for that clown show. And we will talk about that one, break down what the fatal flaws are for the Pittsburgh Penguins, probably talk a little bit more about Tristan Jarry, and a lot more. But that's going to do it for this one. Remember, you can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins, or you can get us anywhere you get your podcast from. We'll see you guys next time.